If you guys want to extend your hands toward Pastor Bill. Father God, first of all, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for his friendship, his mentorship. And Father, I know that he is excited to share the word that you have given him. But Father, I also know he does not want to get in your way. He wants to be a mouthpiece or a conduit for you. So Father, I want to say dump it on him. Give him everything you got for us. So Father, I pray that right now in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we'll turn this on, see if that makes it a little easier to hear. Tell you what, before we get into the word, just want to pray over all of you. We didn't really have the altar time this morning, and we're not going to do that now. So we'll just go ahead and pray over all of you. But Father God, you know each and every one of these people even better than we know ourselves. You know what the needs are, those things that were not expressed. But Father God, you know what they are. You know the healing in body, in mind, in spirit, the healing in relationships, the ability to truly forgive and to forget and to set it aside. I pray over all these things. And I pray for your divine touch upon each person here, the families that they represent. Lord, there's nothing happening that's a surprise to you. And we pray that as we lean into you, let you receive all the glory. But Father God, we will just be blessed by your touch and your presence and the things that you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I felt that Pastor Travis last week gave a very good word. It was really good. His points on God already telling us what's good, what's not, and how we try to overrule God instead of accepting his guidance were really spot on. I'm going to be kind of keeping an eye on my notes because the more I dug through this week, the more rabbit trails I could go on. So I need to kind of keep myself on track here. But you know, if you stop and think about it, I mean, most of you now have cell phones or computers or whatever. And every once in a while, it needs a fresh start, needs a restart. In the beginning, what was made was good. And that's part of what Pastor Travis talked about last week. But then things get in the way. Stuff happens. And like on the computers or on our cell phone, every once in a while, you just can't work your way through it. You need a refreshing, you need a restart. And God gives us opportunities for that as well. God has already made us aware of what is good and what is not. We need to be obedient and not going constantly on our own way, because we have a tendency to do that. We may not even start out that way, although some of us do. But the truth is, we have a tendency to fall into our comfort zone, and this is what works for me, and the next thing you know, we're into that. Rather than saying, God, what are you saying in this situation or circumstance? Godly wisdom has always been and always will be better than human wisdom. And as much as I've tried to help God with my wisdom, we usually wind up following his. When I don't, I get in trouble. So I just know that it's godly wisdom. And down through history, we find that time and time again, people or nations have gone their own way. It seems like no matter how far you go back in history, there's wars and rumors of wars, people being independent. That sounds good, but I think if I do it this way, it'll be better. Or I want more power, more control, whatever. And this time of year, it's often been looked upon as a season of new beginnings. And that's good. The world comes up with resolutions. Resolutions are okay. The problem is that most of those resolutions are rarely, if ever, kept. They say the right things at the right time. It's kind of like, you know, when you've talked to a child of a certain age, you talk to them and you say something, they give you the right answer. And then whether it's a short time or a long time, pretty soon you see them doing the exact same thing. We do that. That's why resolutions the way the world does it doesn't work. But having said that, what do Christians really do about it? Are we really willing to submit to godly changes in our life? What makes us different than the world? Are we like the world with its resolutions that we give lip service to wanting change, but we don't really follow through with our part in making that change take place? I've heard it many times as I sat in counseling with people, or even talking with my own children or grandchildren. Here's what you need to do to make the change take place. Well, that sounds good, but do I really have to do it that way? Or, okay, and then they don't do it. So are we truly doing what we say what we're going to do before the Lord, or are we like the world and we kind of, pretty soon that was old news and we're on to what's next? Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 tells us that God's mercies are new every morning. Thank God they are, because we need them, fresh and new. Do we honestly take advantage of that? And do we intentionally try to walk a little bit better with Christ with each passing day? Or do we kind of fall into patterns? Because most people, to be honest with you, we fall into patterns. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. Well, yeah, but now I got to go do this. Now I got to go do that. Perhaps we only think of that verse when things aren't going so well. Seems like when we're in trouble, we need God. And where we're in trouble, you know, you get the things that you hear about that were said in foxholes. God, if you'll only get me through this, I promise you. And then you're not in that foxhole. You're not in that trouble anymore. And then what happens? You meant it at the time, but that was yesterday. Now I've got this to deal with. This was something I totally didn't expect. Romans 6, verse 4 says that when we were buried with Christ, we entered into the new covenant, and we have new life. But did we enter into that life not realizing that growth is as true in a spiritual life as it is in a fleshly life, in our emotional life? We sometimes feel stuck where we're at. There are times when it seems like we cannot do anything about it. And there are times when we really can't. We don't know what to do. We don't see a way out. And sometimes we knowingly or unknowingly choose to stay stuck. We do. We choose to stay stuck. The Word of God says that we are not facing our issues alone. So let's take a look at a couple things. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, God tells us to be strong and courageous. I will never leave you or forsake you. We may forget about him from time to time, but he never, ever forgets about us. Excuse me. If we take a look at Hebrews 13:5, we see that it echoes the same sentiment. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So you've heard it from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Numbers 23:19 goes on to say, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? I really like history, so I really dig into it, both our worldly history and the history of God. And as you go down through the ages and you take a look at the things that God said he would do, I challenge you to come back and let me know, where did he not come through? Where did he not do what he said he was going to do? Whether it was a blessing, or was a situation where he needed to help us change our ways. Where did not God stay true to his word? I honestly don't think you're going to find one place where God blew it. He did not. He has been faithful and true. Do we choose to stay stunted in our spiritual growth rather than move into the newness of life that God has for us? And I ask you, is that attitude even appropriate? In the flesh, we'd be concerned that a child doesn't seem to be physically growing. We're over there, we're watching our child or our grandchild or whoever, and they just seem to be stunted in their growth. We'd be going, man, maybe we need to go talk to the doctor. I've realized that some grow faster and some grow a little slower than others, but I'm beginning to get concerned. And what if the child is not growing mentally or emotionally? You start being concerned. Is there something else we need to have him check for, him or her? Is there something we need to be concerned about? Wouldn't there ever be a reason for concern? Shouldn't that be a concern in our spiritual our life as well? It's also true that in our spiritual life that we need to not stay stuck in one spot for the rest of our life. There should be change, there should be growth, and there should be maturing that takes place. When those things aren't happening, it's time for us to do a little self-evaluation. Or maybe, if we need a little help, to talk to somebody that can help us with that. You should not be in the same place you were when you accepted Jesus Christ. Whether it was a month ago or whether it was 50 years ago. God should have made some kind of work in your life. There should be changes that are happening. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect, because God's working on us as long as we're breathing. So if God's taking you through something and you're getting a nice little break, enjoy it. Because then he's going to say, now that you're doing well there, let's talk. We're going on to what's next. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 5 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. We are not supposed to stay stuck where we are. God expects us to grow and to change. Sometimes there is a resistance that takes place. It could be warfare with the enemy. It could be our not recognizing the need for the change, or perhaps we aren't willing to change. Why are you picking on me? What do I need to change in that area for? I'm doing really well. Obviously, we're in a constant improvement project. We really are. In fact, you may think that you're stuck where you're at, but you are either moving forward or you're moving backwards. We don't just stay in one spot when we're walking spiritually. We feel like we're stuck in one spot and we're not moving forward, but anytime you're not moving forward, the reality is you're moving a little bit backwards. And that's not a healthy thing for us. And we want to be healthy. We go through seasons in our life. We need to recognize that new beginnings happen in season. Just as there is a time to prepare and a time to plant, a time to weed and a time to pluck what has grown, there are changes that happen in us. Sometimes something happens where somebody goes through a divorce, or a loved one dies, or someone's been given a terrible diagnosis. So sometimes we're forced into some of those changes. And sometimes it's just a matter of we're walking along and we're seeing other people around us that seem to be doing so much better, and we're going, okay, Lord, why aren't I doing better too? Where am I missing it? So take a look at your own life and see how things have affected you, and they've changed you. If you're still breathing, God has not done with the changes in you. If you take a look back and see what's going on, time is the greatest tattletale of all. It'll let you know where you came up short, where things went really well, where maybe you could have done a little better, or maybe you were thrust into circumstances. Even boats and planes need occasional course corrections. You get on a boat, you're going across Lake Erie, you'll find anybody that's done that, over a period of time, they'll make little adjustments in the boat. It's the same way on an airplane. because of the wind and storms and different things that are going on, they'll make little course corrections. And God knew that there'd be times when we need to do that too. In fact, the Word of God talks about the perfecting of the saints. That's an active word there. I'm not a great English student, so I'm not going to get into verbs and adverbs and all that stuff, but I'm just saying that's a very active word. It's an ongoing thing. Ephesians 4, verse 12, tells us we need to continuously improve for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And really for our own good. But for us to benefit, we must do our part and make the effort so that we can receive what the new growth has for us. This is not a deal where we just allow God or whatever to change us, and we just get lazy and go along with the flow. We have responsibilities and accountabilities. The things that happen during our growing season are important. They're the things that affect us. For those of you that are horticulturally minded, if you planted a garden, you know that you've had some years where the garden went really well. The rain hit just right, the dry season hit just right, things worked out well. You have other seasons where the garden was too wet or it got wet at the wrong time, and then later on when it really needed to water, it was too dry. We go through those seasons in our life. So let's talk about some of the things that happen during growing seasons on our life that are important. The beginning is important because we need to recognize the need for change. You can't fix something that you don't recognize as broke. So the very beginning, you even need to recognize there's something you need to work on. So that's important. The middle is important because we will benefit during the work involved in the growth. The work involved in the growth may not be much fun. Who likes to be out there in the hot sun working in the garden pulling weeds? A smart person gets up early, so they're not out there in the hot afternoon doing it. But the point is, even in the midst of that work, there's something for us to learn in it about God and about ourselves. But the end is our goal. We will benefit because it will bring us into newness of life, which is God's will for us. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 reminds us that former things pass away and that all things are made new. All things. That includes you and me. God is willing to give us a fresh start. If you look in the Old Testament, you will see where both individuals and nations had times when they needed a fresh start. They needed renewal in their life. God will allow old things, for example, things that we have said or things that we've done, to pass away so that we can enjoy the newness and growth that he desires for us to walk in. James 5:11 says that the perseverance is the path of a new beginning. Just as a plant must get past the resistance of the soil for the blessing of the existing of the light with opportunity for even more growth and blessing, we need to get through that resistance that we have in order to move in the freshness and renewal of life that God has for us. Raise chickens for a while. One of the things I learned real quick was, if you want baby chicks, you don't go out and crack the eggs and help them along. Doesn't work real well. If you crack the egg about that time, you better have a skillet ready. You might as well eat. The truth of the matter is, they need to go through the resistance of breaking through that shell. That's what prepares them for life. It strengthens them. In that same way, we have to work through whatever that resistance is. Maybe getting out of our own shell. Maybe getting out of some other things that we need to not be in. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we can start right where we are. Therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I know that we don't always understand what we're going through. We don't. Sometimes it's like, why is this even happening to me? What's going on? Perhaps it's why it's taking so long to get through it. How come somebody else went through something like this and they went through it in a couple weeks and it was over and here I am 3 months later? We just don't always understand, but we need to trust God and that He has our best interest at heart. We also need to keep in mind that if somebody got through it a little quicker, maybe they were paying attention to God and were obedient. Maybe I'm taking a little bit longer because I'm the resistance. I'm the very problem that I'm fighting. I say I want to change, but do I live that out? Do I walk out that change? Or if there's an old habit I want to get rid of and some friends come around and they want to take me right into the old habit. What if, whatever other example you want to use. Proverbs 3:5 tells us to trust with the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes the Lord will take us away that we don't understand. And sometimes He uses that lack of understanding on our part to help us to grow to where we will understand, because then we start seeking God and saying, what the heck is going on? That at times can be a hard verse to walk out, especially when things are happening that don't make much sense. If we aren't careful, we can start giving too much attention to our doubts or perhaps the whispers of the enemy. It's one thing to read, trust the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. It's another thing when you're walking it out, when your loved one is sick, or your life is going upside down, and you think, I'm not the way I used to be. I thought I was doing all the right things. How come things aren't working? I don't get it. We got to be careful that we don't fall into those traps, and it's very easy to do that. Proverbs 4:23 reminds us to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Do we really always protect our heart? What about the things that we see on the internet or the things we get into on TV? Or, well, you know, I'm one way when I'm at church, I'm another way when I'm at work or I'm out in the world. Do we do the things? Do we do due diligence to protect our hearts? I know that isn't always easy. We always would like to have the answers to our questions. But just as a child has to trust a parent when they're being encouraged to take that first step, even when doubt wants to enter in, we need to trust God will see us through and that it will benefit us, even though we don't understand while we're going through it. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a real battle. I spent a little time in Vietnam. Sometimes you're in a battle and you don't even understand what's going on. You can't even always see the enemy. There's something coming out through the foliage in the jungle. You don't totally understand what's going on. It's like that in our walk and in our battle in our own lives. Sometimes we don't see clearly what it is we're even fighting. We just know that there's one heck of a fight going on. And God, I need your help to get me through this because I can't even see what I'm shooting at right now. What's my goal? Where do I need to go here? It can be really tough. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. That doesn't just mean like when we're really going through something, someone's in the hospital or something like that's going on. But He's talking about even our daily anxieties, our frustrations with ourselves or our partner or whoever. Our children, they can bring lots of anxieties on just thinking about them sometimes. And it's like, these are not the seeds that I've sown. This is not what I tried to teach them. God, what's it going to take? 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18 puts it this way. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances for the will of God in Christ Jesus and for you. It's interesting because I was doing a little channel hopping while my wife was getting ready this morning. I like to see what the different pastors are saying, where they're going. And this morning, it seemed like they all got the same message from the same Holy Spirit because they were all talking about praying. Do you really put effort in your prayer? How serious are you about it? And do you really think it makes a difference? There were some excellent points being made. I'm not going to go into all of them now. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we say that we pray and we go through the motions, but do we really believe that God is listening? Do we really have the faith that it takes that there's going to be a change? That I'm not just sitting here saying words, and when it's all over, what's next? We need to really trust that God really does hear our prayers. The Holy Spirit really does move. I can attest to you just from things that have happened here. People come up and they're prayed over, and then later on in the week, you hear about how God answered this and God answered that. He does hear our prayers. We need to be sincere. We need to be honest with him. He knows your thoughts. So there's no sense trying to blow smoke. You might as well be honest with him. He knows your thoughts. But you need to understand, I need to understand, that we're not just saying some words and we're doing this religious thing where we're praying, however. Some people think they have to be on their knees. Some people have to be loud. Some people have to do it this way or that way. God just wants you to talk to him. He will hear you. And he will respond for what's best, which may not always look the way we want it to look, but it will be for our best when we look back on it. Just as we go through different stages in our physical life, crawling, walking, driving, dating, whatever else, we go through stages in our spiritual life. That's another place in our life where we shouldn't be the same as we were the day we accepted the Lord. We should be that enthusiastic, because quite often, you know, the shine starts to wear off and we start to lose our enthusiasm. But we should be growing in our faith. We should have seen things that have happened. We should have seen answers to prayer. Our trust in the Lord, it shouldn't stay stagnant. That's why it's good for us to take time to be introspective and to take time to take a look at where we are. Every once in a while, you know, the doctor wants you to come in for a checkup. Every once in a while, you need to take the car in and have it checked out for something. Aren't you more important than your car? Don't we need checked out? And just say, you know what? Until I really stopped and thought about this a little bit, I didn't even realize I'd slipped in that area. I thought I was still doing okay. I thought I was doing just as good as I was 3 months ago. I didn't even stop until I took a good look at myself to realize, how did that even happen? It's not that you're being evil. I'm not even saying you're being bad. I'm just saying we're not in the place where we need to be with God. Maybe I slip more than you guys do. I don't know. I'm just saying, every once in a while, it doesn't hurt to take a good look and say, I need to tweak that a little bit. It's not quite working. There are times when we choose to grow. There are times when there's opportunities to grow. And there's times when we didn't really want to or expect to, but we're going to grow. God says it's time to move. You can't stay where you are. We need to be aware that God knew there would be times when we would need help through the process. Just being honest. Sometimes we need help more than we need than other times. It's like that in our physical life. It's like that in our relationships with each other. It's like that in our relationship with God. Jeremiah 29:12 reminds us that when you will call on me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. Call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I've talked to people that were going through bad times, and I asked them how they're doing. They said, you know, I don't know what else to do. It's got down to the point to where the only thing I can do is pray because there's nothing else. And I understand that. There was a time in my life when I made those kind of statements myself. But the truth of the matter is, the first thing we should have done was pray. God uses doctors. God uses medication. God uses policemen when we need them. God can use all those things. But the source of all that is God Almighty. Why not go to the source first? And yeah, while you're going through the frustration of why didn't they come up with an answer sooner, or why about this, or what about that, in the midst of it all, God is there. We need to look at where we need to be, and the Word of God is our benchmark. Growth can be fun at times, and at times it's hard, and at times it's embarrassing, and at times it's painful. I know it's been each one of those things for me at different times in my life, where it's been good, where it's been hard, been embarrassing at moments. At times it's even been a little painful. But the Word of God is our benchmark. Not what Johnny or Susie says, not what CNN or Fox News says, or one of the other news media. The Word of God is our benchmark. In societies, the norms seem to just keep changing. Short skirts, long skirts. This kind of thing, that kind of thing. This fad, that fad. But the Word of God is constant, is true. And just like I said earlier, where time is the greatest tattletale of all, the Word of God, time and time again, has turned out to be the right resource for what needed to take place. God has a plan, and it's for your good. Moving forward takes some effort. Sometimes I feel lazy and don't want to make the effort. And it's especially difficult if you're comfortable where you're at, because then it's a little bit harder to see, why do I need to change? Yeah, things could be a little bit better, but they could be a whole lot worse. There was a time when they were. But God is saying, I'm talking to you. You need to make this small adjustment that's going to make a big change in your life. You may not see it or understand it now, but now is the timing. This is God's perfect timing for you to make that change. Sometimes we desire the change. Sometimes it's thrust upon us. Sometimes we fight it. I have heard someone say that they weren't too anxious for change because the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. You know, and there have been times when that has seemed true. I can see where there's places where that seems to be applied. But what about the rest of the story? What about knowing God in a way and a depth that you didn't before? What about knowing God in a way that you didn't know when you thought you knew him so well? Was there ever somebody in your life that after a while you thought you really got to know him, and then somewhere down the road a curveball comes out and you wonder, I thought I really knew him. Where did this come from? Well, I'm not saying that God throws us curveballs in that way, but what I am saying is our relationship grows with time. And after a while, if we're working on the relationship, we begin to find out there's even more to him than we thought. We know that he's the supreme God, all that, but having said those words, do we truly comprehend that? Do we truly understand that he's going to love you and meet you right where you're at? And that he knows you're going to make mistakes. That doesn't mean you go out and intentionally make a mistake, because then that's not a mistake. You're just intentionally doing something. And there'll be a price to be paid for that. But God understands that, you know, we're going to have weak moments. We're going to blow it. And he wants to be there for us. God is on the move. He has greener pastures for you. But just as the Jewish people had to go through experiences to leave Egypt and get to the promised land, so do we on our journey. Do you ever read about some of their experiences, like, for example, coming out of Egypt? And you wonder, why the heck would they want to go back there? They were slaves. Their women were abused. People died early. All kinds of things happened to them. But when they got frustrated out there, they're ready to go back to Egypt. How could they possibly do that? Take an honest look at yourself. How many times did we run into a situation where we said, you know what? I might be better off going back to that. This isn't working out so well. This is difficult. I got a lot of hard work here. The truth of the matter is, I think all of us at some point in our life could find something, if we really search. Some might have to search harder than others, but we could find that. The Passion translation of the Bible quotes Psalm 4 this way. Whenever I was in distress, you enlarged me. I am being squeezed again. I need your kindness right away. Grant me your grace. Hear my prayer. Set me free. Ever been in that situation? Like, God, I think I've been squeezed enough. Can we just kind of move on from here? There are many examples in the Bible of people or nations that needed rescue. They needed a fresh start. When Jesus restores you, you always turn out better than you were. Always. When you take the methods of the world, sometimes you come out a little better, sometimes you come out worse. But when Jesus is involved, you always come out better. You may have scars that show what you've been through. Some of our scars are on the outside, some of our scars are on the inside. But actually, they're only a testimony of God's love and power. You can look at those scars that you have in your memory, in your heart, maybe on your body, and say, look what God brought me through. And if anything, that should be an encouragement, because maybe you're going through something else now, and you can look back and say, if God took me through all of that, he's not going to abandon me now. He was true to his word then, so why should I doubt him now? Because that was a really tough one. And so we should be able to look back on that and actually see God's grace in our life. Jesus was crucified and he was buried, but when he rose again, he was fully restored, wasn't he? God knows that we are going to have times when we need to be restored. We just do. I used to like to tinker with old cars and kind of restore them and bring them back up. Back then it was fun. Now I don't want to because it's too much work, but back then it was fun. Well, just like our old vehicles, our house, whatever else we got, it doesn't matter if you have an inexpensive house or you have this multi-million dollar house. Guess what? They all need upkeep. Well, we all need upkeep. One of God's names and attributes is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You can find that in Exodus 15:28. Let me give you some examples of renewal and restoration. Job, he went from being a very wealthy man to losing everything he had, even his family, and he couldn't even count on his friends. And when he went through his renewal, he had more than he had before. How about Joseph? He went from being the favored one of his father, which got him in trouble, the favored one of his father, to his brother selling him into slavery. His own family sold him into slavery. And he wound up becoming one of the most powerful people in Egypt. And God even restored the relationship with his brothers who had treated him so badly. God can do exceedingly abundantly above more than we can even understand or comprehend. I mean, there's an example there. I mean, to restore that family. I wonder Joseph didn't tell him to go starve to death somewhere. But he didn't. God restored him. Gideon went from hiding to be a hero. And how about Moses? He was a prince of Egypt. He wound up becoming a fugitive. Then he became a shepherd, and then he wound up becoming a great leader. I'm giving you these examples to let you know that even the so-called great ones that you read about in the Bible, they needed restoration. What makes you think that we don't? And then there's Esther. She was an orphan and fatherless, and she became a queen. How about David? He was a shepherd, a fugitive, and he became a king. I could add into there, actually he was a shepherd, he was a hero when he took on Goliath, became a fugitive later, and became a king. So look at the nation of Israel, not just individuals, but we use the nation of Israel, God's favored nation, right? Up and down many times, and yet God gave them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get back on track. We all need to hit that refresh button, do a little renewal every once in a while. Or do you want to stay in Egypt? Do you want to only go as far as the river and not be able to enter in? Because you could choose to just stay in Egypt and stay where you were. Or you could go so far with the Lord and just say, well, I kind of want to go along for the ride, but I don't want to do everything. And just like some of the Israelites, there was an entire generation that didn't get to cross the river because of it. Or do you want to enter in? Do you want to go all the way with God? Let's think about the fact that they had choices, and those choices came with benefits, and they came with consequences. And so do we. We need to make choices. And with those choices will come blessings or will come consequences. Nobody can make my choice for me, and I can't make your choice for you. But what I can tell you is that God is constantly updating us, improving us, and making the changes that are necessary. So don't let this be a time of renewal. Not the way the world does it, but the kind of renewal that God has in store for you and for me. Because if you think God's already done some amazing things that you've heard about or you've seen and perhaps have happened in your own life, you ain't seen nothing yet. We have an awesome God. Allow yourself to be healed. Allow yourself to be restored. Allow yourself to be all that you can be in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word keeps telling us over and over again. I gave you examples of individuals, examples of a nation. This nation needs a renewal, big time. And I don't care if you're on the left side of the aisle or the right-hand side of the aisle. It's a mess. And there are things in each and every one of our lives that can just be a little bit addressed more. Maybe some people need more radical changes, some people need smaller changes. But we all need to constantly change, because with each passing day, we should be a little bit closer to God. We should be a little bit closer to Jesus. So don't miss an opportunity, and don't just go with a New Year's resolution. Be renewed and restored. Allow the Lord to do that in your life. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you that we've had this opportunity to be together. I thank you that you are willing to restore and renew us. We don't have to be like that old car that winds up in the junkyard. You can make us into something that people go, or they're just amazed at what they see. And we're amazed when we look in the mirror. Not out of ego, but because we're truly shocked at what you can do in our lives. Help us not to put limitations on you by being disobedient, but help us to receive all that you have for us, Father God. We want to be able to lift up your name, see you be glorified, and to know that, Father God, that we want to be so close to you that we can hear your heartbeat. Lord, there's different times you've had to get my attention in my own life different ways. Sometimes you kind of had to get a hold of me and grab me and shake me. Sometimes you had to speak loudly. But the times that I'm most proud of is when you were able to just whisper, and I heard, and I responded. Those are the times that I'm most proud of. Thank you for being faithful and true. Thank you for the work that you will that you want to be accomplished in each and every one of the lives of those that are here and those that are watching online. Thank you that you're a Lord that heals and restores. To you be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for coming today.
As you're all leaving today, I'm going to sing a song called For the Good that goes with Pastor Chip's message. So you can stay in and listen or walk out or leave, whatever you want to do. Oh, no, you're good. Okay. It came to my head while you were doing your message, so I figured I'd, just sing a song at the end. So, all right. Oh, what did I say? I don't know why I said. I'm looking right at you. So, all right. Who can bend my burdens and make them beautiful? Who can bring the healing to the hurt I hold? Who else can part the waters when I'm needing a way? As I'm walking through the valley, guess what it's not meant. Here we go, hold on. I'm used to clicking. Who can bend my burdens and make them beautiful? Who can bring the healing to the hurt I hold? Who else could part the waters when I'm needing a way? When I'm walking through the valley, that song fit well with our message today. So, all right. Well, have a nice week, everybody. Praise God.